Welcome to Pet Sitter Confessional. Today, we're brought to you by Time to Pet and the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters. Anticipatory pet loss and grief. How we look after ourselves and how we help our clients during the time after they lose their pet, and even as they prepare mentally, physically, emotionally for that. Now, today, we are really excited to have Erica Messer, owner and founder of Wolfie's Wish, back on the show. She was previously with us back on episode 341. And so if you haven't listened to that episode, I really encourage you to pause and go back and listen to that and then jump back to this one. That's fine. So Erica, really thankful to have you back on the podcast. For those who are new listeners, or maybe it's been a while since they listened to that episode, could you please tell us more about who you are and all that you do?
Hey, Colin. Well, thank you. Yeah, it's great to be back here and provide great content for your listeners. So I'm Erica, and I founded Wolfie's Wish with my mom in order to help pet parents grieve in healthy ways and give them the tools and resources that they need. And I did this because I couldn't find what I needed. And I said, that's not okay. There's gotta be a way to connect people with what they want. So that's the basics of what we created.
And I know the last time we talked about kind of going through the grieving process and kind of what to do after you've experienced that loss. But I know you've become more recently interested in the, not necessarily the buildup, but those times, those weeks, those months before you actually do lose the pet. What happened, or why did you become suddenly interested in that aspect?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, when I first got into the pet grief realm, you know, there were some accounts like on Instagram I was following that really focused strategically and specifically on anticipatory loss. And it just kind of was there, but I didn't get it. And the more that I connected with people around the world, the more I saw a need for more strategies and tips and tools and resources for that part. If we're lucky, we get to have a senior pet, you know, that they live that long. And so recognizing, you know, changes in their health and behavior, people in the pet industry, you know, and how they care for the animals changes, the family, the owners have to deal with the reality a lot sooner and think about on a more frequent basis, like, my time is limited, you know, with Fluffy, and to not ignore that, but to embrace it and make the most of it. So I really saw opportunity to just kind of backpedal, if you will, on what we can offer. And it became really exciting to learn about senior pets, how to care. And then, you know, the personal side, the emotional side is where I really connect with people in saying, hey, this is going to be hard. This is going to hurt. But I want to hold your hand and I want to give you the resources you need. You can do this in a healthy way in hopes that, you know, you will have fun, loving memories, but also you'll be at a place where you can open up your heart to having another pet again and not feel like, oh, I can't go there, you know, and wait a decade. Because we all know animals are like the best relationships that humans can have. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm happily married and everything, but animals are just where it's at. Like they're just incomparable.
Well, it is a different kind of grief because there is that waiting for it. And I know, especially in the pet care field, you know, there's the grief after the pet passes away, or where it's a sudden onset thing. But the anticipatory aspect of, well, I'm going to show up this month and I'm going to see the pet, and then we might not see them for another month. Or we have clients who book like every like 18 month vacations, and it's like, it's jarring sometimes to come in and see the pet. And that, you know, I've heard it a lot of times of like, oh, they're not how I remembered, right? They're not what I thought they'd be like. So how would you define anticipatory grief, and kind of what's the, you know, some of the signs or how it impacts people?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's a really good point, that, you know, oftentimes people from outside of a family will see changes more acutely. You know, I see that in my own family. When I go back to the States and visit my parents, I'm like, oh my gosh. Or I see my brother, you know, every other year, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, look at what time does to us. But for anticipatory loss, it's, you know, recognizing like, oh, my pet's behavior is changing. They're getting old. You know, what do I have to look out for? What do I mean? And that kind of grief is the anticipatory grief is like, I've got to start to be ready to let go. Mm-hmm. And for me and my experience of having, you know, my first pet as an adult, I didn't want to acknowledge it. I was in denial. And I know other people are too, regardless of their age or relationship with their pet. And, you know, that's not healthy for me or the pet. And so I want to promote and talk about, like, hey, there are so many tools and resources and great people and social accounts and, you know, international organizations that deal specifically with, you know, palliative care. And it's not a hard and fast thing. You know, we can extend the life of our pets and give them a quality of life. And we just make adjustments, right? So it's being informed, and, you know, it takes a lot of courage and strength to acknowledge that and not be in denial. You know, I didn't do it perfectly, but I can try better this time around with my three cats and, you know, with my family's pets, and, you know, really, really find helpful tools and share them. That's my passion.
And you know, it comes in little forms. I think that's some of the most jarring things as well of those signs, right? Where you do can slip into denial of, I know, like for us, you know, we have our dapple dachshund Kobe. He was gray, black, and white. And as he aged, every time he'd get back from the groomer and we'd shave him a little bit shorter, it's like, oh, there's a little bit more gray under here, right? To the point where he kind of had this back shoulder strap of gray that went across, that finally connected in the middle across his back as he got older. And it was just a reminder every time, right? Of like, right. Yeah, that's a thing. And then I guess what you're talking about here, Erica, is like, then what do we do with that? Right. Because there are these signs, these unmistakable signs that we are all going to see. We then have to go, where do I take that? Right. How do I then process that in my life or my client's life?
Mm-hmm. You know, and I have the same experience when I go to the hairdresser every time I go. I'm like, oh my God, where does all that gray come from? That was not there last time. You know, and I look in the mirror and I'm like, all right, here we go. Yeah. So it's a process, I think, of just like acceptance and letting go. You know, I have natural hair now for the first time, and it's like, yeah, let's do this. And accepting that, you know, that change, there's just change is a constant. And, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing to remind ourselves that, you know, nothing is permanent, and to take advantage and make the most of what we can while we have it, especially with our pets. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially with pets as they get older. And again, as you started off by saying, like, what we will be extremely blessed and lucky to have an older pet in our lives, like how wonderful, and realizing that in itself is a gift to have. Mm-hmm. But there are things that we're going to see that we have to be mentally prepared for, right? Of you know, the dog may still be a puppy in our eyes, but there is a reality in their life that they are different now, and that mandates we do different things. And I know in my conversations with some of our clients, of like, the anticipatory was all just adapting, right? It was all just adapting and changing their life around for their pet. And when the pet did pass, they suddenly realized how much they had been accommodating that pet in their life. And now there was this huge void, right? Everything down. And that's where that palliative care comes in too, of like, you are on a strict schedule. You are on a strict diet. You are doing specific things. You have the rugs out. You have the booties for them for their extra grip. You know, you're picking up, you've built the ramps. You've completely changed your life to adapt to this pet. And suddenly they're not there. And there's just a gaping hole now. Mm-hmm. And it leaves a lot of people going, what, like all of a sudden they're just like thrown off a cliff, right? And and trying to, not forcing people to face it, but going, what conversations can we have a little bit earlier? Mm-hmm. Because again, the other part about that palliative care is it's really easy to just get busy in the details and distract ourselves from those emotions to the point where we're left with nothing but our thoughts, and it can be really upsetting and uncomfortable for people to be left.
Oh yeah. And a lot of guilt is involved too. You know, there's the hindsight of, yes, there's this void, and the guilt can come from, oh, I'm so relieved that I don't have to, you know, administer medicine, you know, four times a day, or, you know, carry Fluffy down the stairs. Like, there's a sense of relief that they're no longer suffering, and we aren't either. Because let's face it, sometimes these animals need a lot of care. But then the guilt of, well, gosh, did I do the right thing? You know, we all have that kind of replay of like, what could I have done better? So I think, you know, people come into our, we have free virtual support now at all stages of grief, whether it was 10 years ago, you know, you're anticipating the loss, you've got a date planned for, you know, a beautiful in-home euthanasia, or maybe you had a sudden loss, and everyone can share their, you know, basically experience, strength and hope and tools and resources and understand and relate. And I love giving people permission to let go of the guilt, because I went through that. And you know what just made things crystal clear for me was that I did the best I could with what I had at the time, which was perfect in itself. I'm not perfect, but I provided Wolfgang in this case, you know, the best I could. And I can't do more than that. And so it gave me permission to just like exhale and say, here's what it is. You know, he could have been out on this farm in the middle of Germany and probably never made it to adulthood. So let's look at the positives. Let's look at what I was able to provide while he was here.
Yeah.
Instead of the opposite, because ultimately, you know, I want to have joy in my life. I want other people to have joy in their lives. And focusing on what we could have done different doesn't lead to joy and happiness and good memories. And it doesn't serve anything, really.
Well, and as we're going through that palliative care, because that's what this is when we're in those older stages, when those last, you know, months or weeks of that pet's life, is reminding ourselves to take a step back and still appreciate that time, to not get so focused on the details and use that as a distraction from this beautiful time that we still have together, and that can be part of the process as well, as we grow to accept that of this is for a time, it's not forever, but I'm doing the best that I can and that I know how.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there are ways to, and forgive me for lack of a better term, but make it as fun and make the best of it. And recently I've put together some, I think, Instagram posts, and in my Facebook group, I've got a pet loss support group. And I say to people, you know, if you are with a senior pet or an ill pet, you know, have you thought about what their last meal is going to be?
Yeah.
And how creative can you get? Is it going through the McDonald's drive-thru and asking for like four Big Macs pushed together, you know, with ice cream on top? And, you know, there's some fun things we get to do. We get to break some rules, right? And I'm a rebel, so that's my favorite part of like, I like to be bad when it's okay.
Yeah.
And so to start to think about those kinds of things, and because ultimately it's the memories that we're going to be left with. And isn't it going to be a great story to tell at, you know, at Gotcha Day, or whether you celebrate your goodbye day, to share these stories with your friends and family and say, remember, what was it? Did we get chili fries, or was it, you know, was it baked Frito chocolate cookies? What was it? And let's make them again and then not eat them, because then, you know, that's disgusting. But like, there's a way to look at it. There's a way to reframe it. Is it all sunshine and roses? Absolutely not.
Have you heard of Time to Pet? Claire from Acton Critter Sitters has this to say.
Time to Pet has honestly revolutionized how we do business. My sitters can work much more independently because they have ongoing access to customer and pet information without relying on me. I save hours upon hours of administrative time on billing, processing payments, and generating paychecks.
If you're looking for new pet sitting software, give Time to Pet a try. Listeners of our show can save 50% off your first 3 months by visiting timetopet.com/confessional. Well, I know we've said the word palliative care a couple times. From your perspective, Erica, how do you define that or approach that concept as we spend that last time with our pets?
Yeah, so it's a new area to me. And basically, you know, there's a lot of veterinarians that belong to this organization for International Association for Animal Hospice and Palliative Care. And they learn, you know, like the latest and greatest pain management and, you know, ways to support families and, you know, without getting to the medicine side. It's basically like when your pet is given a terminal diagnosis. Recently in my family, my aunt's dog got a brain tumor, and they were going to manage her quality of life. Right? It wasn't okay. She's got the tumor. We're gonna put her down today. No, she could still have six. They gave her 6 months, more or less. And in that time, it allowed them to plan the goodbye and the quality of life and like manage that. And so with a veterinarian that's experienced in treating animals that are sick or aging and all of the complications that come with that, you can create a plan so that it's not an immediate goodbye. It's all right, let's work with this and let's give them the best treatment we can. We, of course, don't want them to be in pain and suffering, but until that tumor gets to a place where it's causing seizures all the time, which has ended up, when they had to say goodbye, Annie got bacon every day, and Annie got to go to her favorite park every day, and they made the most of it and they made the best of it. And so really, and there's even consultants like Sage Paws on Instagram. Her name's Dr. Jen. She only does consulting for people with end of life care for their pets. And, she does it from her car, she does it from her home. And so there are people you can go to ask these specific questions. She's a veterinarian, by the way. And I recommend, finding groups and networks and support for specific things, and always make sure you're consulting a professional when it comes down to treatment and management. But there's way more resources that I even knew existed. Colin, 2.5 years ago, I didn't know that there were things like pet loss counselors. This was not talked about. And so it really kind of dove into head first to this, what I call a treasure trove of information on how to, help our animals live the best life they can. Mm. And a lot of that involves the end of life care.
You start off by talking about managing the quality of life, right? That's it. And in that sense, like palliative care, there's no real like delineation of like, okay, we are in palliative care right now and we weren't before. Because we're all in some sense trying to make sure that our pets have their highest quality of life. It just becomes a bit more challenging if they get a terminal diagnosis, or especially as they age and get way up there in their time with us, where it becomes a bit more intensive and it becomes a bit more time consuming for us. And because reminding ourselves that we're not always managing for that terminal case. So sometimes we might not even recognize we're in palliative care, but because our lives have changed for them, but we're so focused on how are they today? How is their pain management? How is their diet? How is their like everything? Like we become really invested in that. And it's such a weird time, Erica, because in one sense, we're so focused on our pet, but yet we can be so distant and removed from them emotionally. Right? We can be so focused on their care, how they're doing, tracking their stool and making and cutting their pills exactly in half. And, I'll even talk to some of our clients who have lost pets too, of like, you're so focused on like not stepping on them, right? Because they're a little, they're maybe a little off balance and maybe they're losing their eyesight. So they don't know that you're there. Mm-hmm. So you're so used to checking behind you before you turn around so you don't actually trip or something, that when they're gone, we didn't actually appreciate that time that we had with them because we were so focused on everything else. And really taking that time to give ourselves permission to sit with them and be present in that moment, as opposed to trying to push all that aside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's really important that we look at taking care of ourselves and making sure that we have what we need to kind of fill up our cups, so to speak, or recharge our batteries so that we can be in a good place. But also, Colin, I think it's really important to mention that, we have a third party or someone like a pet professional to give us the feedback. And it could even be a pet caretaker such as yourself to help us see the signs objectively, because when it's our own pets, we're wrapped up in the emotions that we don't want to say goodbye. Of course we don't. But that might blind us a little bit to actually how their quality of life is. So I really think it's a great idea to have some people as a soundboard around you that you can trust to give you the feedback. And I actually had to do that for my parents about 6 months ago. So they're serial dachshund owners. And Lucy was, she had a wheelchair, I guess, or yeah. I don't know what you call them. a special thing outfitted because she was having back problems. And, you know, they were doing everything they could. And as long as her tail's wagging and she's happy to see you and she's eating, and, you know, they were like, all right, we're just going to play this by ear. We're going to, you know, monitor her. But unfortunately, I went home and I saw Lucy and she just had this glazed look on her face. And I was like, you guys, I hate to say it, but it's time. It's time, like, now. She was sort of, I don't know how to explain it. She was like already gone. She's a ghost of Lucy. And so luckily, because of, you know, the knowledge that I have, we arranged for, you know, a beautiful in-home euthanasia. And of course, they had the Wolfie's Wish cards to kind of help them through that, and would share with me, and I would check in on them. And I have to say, that's also really important to have people that will support and understand you, to check in on you and to make sure that, you know, people are okay. But, and also for your listeners to be able to support their clients and check in on them as well and say, do you mind if I check in with you? Do you mind if I give you a call and see how you're doing? Mm-hmm. Do you mind if can I bring you food? You're like, well, how can I show up for you? How can I support you? Because I cared for Fluffy as well. Mm-hmm. And I want to make this, you know, I want you to be okay. I want you to know that I care. And so there's really, I just would love to see people change the conversations they have around pet loss. It's not an icky thing. It's okay. We all want the support. We're afraid to ask for it. So I'm going to go ahead and go out on the limb and be like, hey, yep, call up your neighbor, call up your colleague, call up your mom. What can I bring you?
Yeah. Well, and as pet professionals, to not be afraid to start that conversation again, because as you mentioned earlier, Eric, a lot of people go through this stage of just living in denial, and they are not willing. It's not that they don't see the signs. They're not willing to understand what that they're pushing away the fact of what that means for them, right? There's a block there. To have somebody come alongside and in a loving, supportive way, start that conversation, the relief that so many pet owners have, because they don't want to be the first person to say it. Let's be honest. Like, they don't want to be deemed the quote unquote bad guy to talk about what are we going to do with Baxter, right? What's our plan here? And you to be ourselves prepared for that conversation, right? Don't go into this lightly. Have resources at the hand. Have a direction to go, but to be able to come alongside somebody, take their hand and go, from my perspective, here's what I'm seeing. And I just want you to know that it's time that we start having some conversations, or at least have you thought about what that looks like for you and them? Because I guarantee you they have. They just haven't expressed it or don't know the words to do that in a way. And that's an amazing gift that we can give people, right? As they go through that process of, they're just looking for help. They're looking for, we've had so many clients call us and be like, okay, well, we just got back from our vacation. How did you think Mimsy looked, right? How was Mimsy, right? And it's like, I understand, you know, here's our perspective. Here's what we think. Here's how we've seen her change since last time. Mm-hmm. And here's some questions, maybe ask your vet, and just for you to consider. Giving them some tools is a great way to love them through that process.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, for you and your listeners and the pet sitter community, you know, you have to first question, you know, how's my relationship with this client? What am I comfortable saying and not saying? And sometimes that might be, you know what, guys, I don't know when the right time is to talk to you about this, but I'm here for you when it is, you know, just extending, opening that door and letting them come through it on their own time means so much. Yeah. And also to say, you know, I'm in the place where I tell people now, you know what, I don't want you to think about this now, but I want you to have the resources. So here's my card. Go put this in the drawer.
Yep.
And when it's time when you have questions, you pull this out, go to our website, text me, call me. And I think that, you know, anyone in the pet industry can have that as a resource. And, you know, if it's not Wolfie's Wish, then something that you find useful or helpful and say to your clients. Okay, so, you know, Annie just got diagnosed with a brain tumor. You know, I'm so sorry. And by the way, here's some resources for when it's the right time for you to look at them. I know this is hard to hear right now. So put it away until you need it, you know, and I'm here for you and I've got my resources because I listen to Pet Sitter Confessional and I've got my little arsenal things. But also too, I think it's great to for the pet community, the pet professional community, to have some checklists that they can keep record of and share with families, or give to the family and say, here, let's both keep track. Let's compare notes over, you know, each month. Or, you know, there's so many ways to plan that. And I'm actually in the process of adding some PDF downloads for people to use. And but there's many out there with just a Google search, or you can make your own, you know, go to Google Docs and say, what are the important questions for me or specifically for this client? And because it's everyone's responsibility to care for this pet. It's not just the owners. We owe that.
Yeah. And it's something I'm going to say as simple as it's an uncomfortable conversation or it can be feel awkward, but look up in your town grief counselors. Now, I want you to go and call them and say, do you specifically or will you work with somebody working through the grief and the loss of a pet? I run a dog walking and pet sitting company, and I'm trying to put together some resources for my clients. It takes 30 seconds for them to say no or yeah, absolutely. Actually, you know, Dave is on or Lauren usually does that. Let me get you their contact information. And you take that and you call the next person and then the next person. It's so that you can have that on file, right? Or just something, right. You know, and it's a prep list. It's a resource that you can have, you know, or the number of clients who maybe the first pet that they've lost personally, right? And what they don't even know what to ask. They don't know what that process is. When do I need to decide what urn I'm going to get? Or when do I need to decide what this process looks like? If you have thought of that, or if you know somebody that can equip them with that information, it's a great thing to just say, look, like you said, Herika, like you don't need this now. Unfortunately, because of the short lives of the pets that are in our life, they're not going to be with us forever. So put this, I hope it collects dust for a really long time.
Yeah. I hope you don't need this for 20 years. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
And it's brown by the time you take it out and curled on the edges. The treasure map scribbled on the back.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I know another aspect that too is we're talking about equipping our clients, equipping our people who are in our lives. As you know, you mentioned earlier about self-care for people going through this palliative care. What does that look like for somebody? And I guess specifically, like, how can we as pet sitters help people care for themselves as they care for their aging pet?
And I just want to touch on, I think that's great to look up local counselors and having that on hand should people want to meet face-to-face. For me, I didn't know if that was going to be a good fit for me. So I found someone that I can meet with over Zoom.
Yeah.
And a lot of them will do exploratory calls to make sure that you're comfortable opening up. Because Colin, I had to go to a stranger and say, I think I've lost my mind. I'm having these symptoms and I don't know what to do. Is there like a place to go, like a mental institution for people that have, you know, cracked because they lost their pet, died tragically? And she's like, unfortunately, you are a run-of-the-mill, dime-a-dozen grief sufferer. And you're not unique and special. And I was a little disappointed. So I'm convinced that, you know, I was on this category on my own. But anyway, so that's also a resource. And, you know, our private pet loss group has four counselors in there that can answer questions and you can kind of get to know them. But to go back to your question about self-care, you know, I think that comes down to an individual. There are some general things that I talk about in the Wolfie's Wish breathing card, such as spending time in nature. And this one is so simple, I almost hate it, but it is so effective. And it's breathing techniques.
Yeah.
You know, we hear it all the time. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, breathe. Okay, yeah. But when practiced for 1 minute, controlling your breath literally forces your body and your brain to recalibrate.
Yeah.
Scientifically proven. So things like that, for me, you know, I'm a spa girl. I would live in a spa if I could. So I know that's my go-to, you know, the nails, the massage, whatever. And I think that just depends person to person. Maybe it's surfing, you know? So I think that one's a little hard, but I also like, you know, for me, I have a candle ritual that I honor Wolfgang with. It's been the same candle for 3 years, and I'm worried they're going to go out of stock. So I want to like send it to a lab and get the fragrance duplicated. But it's really simple stuff. You know, yeah. Even eating comfort food is a form of self-care. For some people, it's sleeping 12 hours. For some people, it's exercising, you know, for 3 hours. I don't know. And that's just, I think, a very personal thing. And so to bring it up and say, hey, what are some ways that you can take care of yourself? Is it, how can I support you in that, right? For your pets, for your community, to talk to their clients and say, you know, if you wanted to talk to me about this, can I make some suggestions? You know, can you cut some things out of your calendar to allow yourself just some space and time to breathe and really think about your options and what you want, what you need, what your pet needs, but also spend more time with your pet, right? Yeah. And it's okay to say no to that party or no to that weekend away. It's okay to say, you know, I'm going to skip, you know, chess night or movie night or whatever it is, because I want to spend time with Fluffy. You know, our time is limited. It's okay.
Yeah.
Totally okay. And, you know, not everyone's going to understand. And you say, I'm sorry you don't understand. Thank you. I wish I could, but I'm going to do this. You know, stand up for ourselves. Yeah. And what's important.
Yeah. And if they do want to get away, letting them know that they shouldn't have guilt about it, right? We've had clients who have felt like they have gotten to the point with their pet where they feel trapped and their bubble is so small and their world, they just feel like they can't get out or do anything, or that they are beholden to this. And while they love caring for their pet, they also feel that they need some time away, but they feel guilty because they should be there caring for their pet. It's a very complicated cycle, right? Of like, I need to get out and I need to go hiking for 3 hours to get my mental space back. But if I do that, I'm going to miss Baxter's pill regimen, or he's got to have this shot, or he's got to get outside, and then nobody's caring for Baxter. And I'm over here selfishly, right, on a hike. This is the mental process of people, and being able to step in and go, we have it. And you're going to get photos and a video, and we're going to be in the loop the whole time. I'll even FaceTime you or WhatsApp. You know, we'll do a video call if you'd like, so you can see how they're doing. And then you can come back when you're done with your hike. Something is just letting them know that that is an option. And in whatever way, whether that's encouraging them to stay in if they're leading really busy lives, or encouraging them to step out for a moment if they need to breathe. And letting them know that that's okay, because they need to work out how it's going to be best for them. And we can step alongside them in either case.
Yeah. Oh, well said. You know, it reminds me of the whole, I just got off a plane. So it's like, you know, in case of losing cabin pressure, please assist yourself and then a child. And really, how are we supposed to care for anyone or anything if we're not taking care of ourselves and filling up our cups again? And so, yeah, that could be a nice hike or an afternoon at the spa.
Yeah.
And something where we can restore our batteries and just kind of recharge. And it reminds me of, you know, being in college and like, I was studying physics for a while, and it was about the hardest thing I've ever done, and decided I hated it. But, you know, you can't solve problems if you're in it 24/7. You can't obsess over something and just be so hyper-focused. You have to actually step away and let your brain take a break in order for you to come back and tackle things again. And oftentimes, that little space, you know, and I tell people when they're grieving, have a digital detox. Put your phone away for an entire day. Let your brain just be. Yeah. And you'll be amazed at how refreshing it is. And we don't realize it until we've stopped something and backed away at how much, not only energy, but clear mind, you know, all of these benefits of just kind of checking out and being present. Was really helpful.
Well, especially when they're staring down a decision that they know they're going to have to make, right? If I'm fortunate or lucky, we will be able to decide this, but it's going to be the most gut-wrenching decision that they've ever had to make or will make in their life to help their pet cross the Rainbow Bridge. And they can sometimes people can feel like, I'm so mentally fixated on this one big decision, I don't have the mental bandwidth to make any other decisions. And I get overwhelmed really easy because I'm so fixated on this one thing and it's just looming large. I wake up thinking about it. I eat, you know, lunch thinking about it. I go to bed thinking about this. It's the one thing that's all consuming in my life. And you want me to decide what? Like, and they can feel, it can get, it's hard for people to get to that because they're just so, the decision fatigue and mental overwhelm in their life, it can be really big for people if they don't have a way of processing that or somewhere to go.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not an easy time at all. And that's why I think it's really great to be in a community where you can ask questions or ask for support or just such a relief even for me to check in with someone saying, oh, I'm having a really hard day today. And you know, this thing happened. And I text a good friend and they're like, I hear you. I get it. Just the acknowledgement, right? And the validation of having a hard time can mean so much and feel like we're not alone. Mm. So when I was grieving and in a foreign country, not having a big support community, I felt even more isolated. And, you know, the symptoms of grief are very alarming at times, even, you know, leaving doors open, leaving the fridge open, leaving milk out, you know, putting the milk in the microwave. Your brain is just recalibrating, and to not feel alone and be able to find a community that understands that is such a relief. Like I said, I was pretty sure I'd lost my mind and needed to go somewhere special with like white walls. But no, it's part of the grieving process. It's part of dealing with some trauma. And, you know, I'm here today and I'm okay and I have joy again. And so I want people to know that no matter how bad it is, there's a way out. Mm-hmm. And no one should feel like they're hopeless. And if anyone is, I have to say, if anyone is feeling that way, there is help for you. Please seek out, you know, professional help, because we know how hard it is and it's important to say that and acknowledge that it's okay to say I'm not okay.
Our friends at the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters are the only national, nonprofit professional pet sitting association dedicated to raising and abiding by industry standards. NAPS provides pet sitters with the tools and resources to own and operate successful pet sitting businesses. They just wrapped up their 2024 in-person conference in Savannah, Georgia, the Bloom and Grow Your Business. But the education and learning doesn't stop there. Year-round, members have access to ongoing education, webinars, and even the NAPS certification course. This acknowledges that the pet sitter is a serious professional who's obtained a high level of expertise through their study and dedication. Visit the NAPS website at petsitters.org for information regarding membership, that certification, and complete details about what membership includes. You know, each country has those emergency hotlines, right, for people to get connected with. And then I'll make sure and I'll have those in the show notes. So whether it's for yourself, if you're listening, or if you have a client in particular, to give them somebody to go talk to who may be able to get them better connected to even more resources, or is a professional in this as well. Because as a lay person, it's kind of, it's like, I don't know what to do with this information, right, at times. Or clients may look to you, and if you're not prepared, and it's not bad if you're not prepared, it's okay. It's how do we continue to have this conversation of whether it's a full conversation with me, or I can give them a card to talk to somebody online, or a phone number to call, or an address to go to and talk to, like, that is how we can prepare, right? I know me emotionally. I cannot have this conversation with every single one of my clients. Like, I just, it would be too much for me. But can we embrace them and then help them by showing them some support is where we can take that. And sometimes that's as simple as the clients just want to, especially when they're in that palliative care and they're in that life stage, sometimes they just, you know, they want to be able to talk about some good times or reflect on some happiness. And what their pet was when they first got it, and having those conversations then, right, of those happy memories, and taking them, not saying, look, it's not that right now isn't sad and right now isn't hard, and it's not that we're avoiding this, but let's focus on the joy too, as you said, like, you know, you're a happy person, joyful person. We seek that stuff out. We can bring that because we experience that, and those emotions were just as real as what we're experiencing right now.
Yeah, and I do want to say, you know, we do have a lot of those resources and hotlines and places. So even your community and listeners don't have to do all the homework on themselves. It's great to have local things. But, you know, print out, like, there's a lot of free downloads we offer, especially for the anticipatory grief parts, because I think it's such a new concept. People are like, wait, what? How do you use this? Mm-hmm. So print out the first page, cut them out, give them to your client and say, you know what, if you like these, you like where what this is about, you know, go to Wolfie's Wish and see what's there, or how can I help you find the resources you need and what that looks like. So I don't want anyone to feel like they have to climb that mountain alone, and that's why I put together the resources. I mean,
right.
Yes, I have, you know, pet loss gifts, and I have sympathy cards I've designed for and with veterinarians. There's a lot of new things out there, but it's really about the resources and getting people connected with podcasts, with YouTube channels, you know, with illicit grief counselors, and books even, so that everyone can be informed and find what they want, what kind of help they need.
Yeah. Now, I know we've been talking about anticipatory grief and the kind of what that is, the process, that it's important to embrace that. Is there a point where anticipatory grief can become unhealthy or unhelpful for somebody? I guess that turn where all of a sudden somebody gets stuck in that and is only now like fully focused on that thing coming up and the kind of obsessively point where it does impact their life.
No, I think that's very normal. And I saw myself, I remember this day I was sitting in my chair and I was like, I don't want to get stuck here. Mm-hmm. I can see right now I could go either way. I could be stuck in my grief the rest of my life and be that person, or I can find a way out of this. And that takes a lot of courage. It felt like walking through fire, to be quite honest. And not everybody can do that. And I think if any of your listeners, you know, are in the pet profession and they recognize that in a client, to offer them resources for specifically like a pet loss counselor.
Yeah.
I think that is so individual and such a difficult path to navigate, that it's not a matter of handing someone a book. They're not going to read it. They don't have the mental capacity. Like you said, they're already in the obsessive stage.
Yeah.
So really connecting them with a counselor, I think, or a specialist, is the best choice at that point. And for people that are listening that may be in that spot themselves, you know, come into our virtual support group and you can meet some of the counselors and see if that's a good fit. But that's a really important point to acknowledge, because that can be debilitating. That can be something that people don't recover from. And if they don't, they're not going to want another pet, right? If they don't find a way through that, they're not going to go and do the things they used to do that they enjoyed about life.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that in anybody.
Yeah. It's kind of that question of almost just like, when you're with your pet, are you still enjoying them and your day? Or is the only thing that you're thinking about and obsessing over is when they won't be with you anymore? And to recognize that, acknowledge it, that's real. I am going to miss mm-hmm. them deeply. How can I be more present with them and find joy with them? Like, and then going and getting that help and just having some of that simple conversations with people. Like it's, I say simple, but because they're very hard, right? Of how do I start this conversation? But I think mm-hmm. at the end of the day, we need to have those conversations earlier rather than later. Because
absolutely.
Yeah. Because that really does. Not that the grief on the other side won't be just as impactful and painful and hurt. We're not going to bawl our eyes out, you know, then. But we've started that process a little bit earlier. So whether it's sudden or not, we can say we were just a little bit prepared for it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we're going to suffer ourselves no matter what.
Yeah.
But we don't want our pets to suffer. And it sounds like, you know, it's at that stage when it starts to get a little muddy and we're not seeing so clearly, you know, I'm in some veterinary Facebook groups, and I ask questions all the time, and they say, Erica, it's really better to say goodbye to a pet, you know, a day too early than a month too late. You know, and that really put things in perspective for me from the scientific and the medicine, veterinary side, is that we don't want our animals to suffer. And that's why it's so important to have someone that you can consult with during that time to make that decision. And again, I know this is not fun to talk about. I get it. And that's why I say, okay, if you want to just keep your head in the sand until it's time to start this process, then go to Wolfie's Wish, then look out the resources, then look up our blog and plan, you know, end of life care and saying goodbye in your home with an in-home euthanasia veterinarian. I can't think of a better way. And yeah, you have to decide if you want to bury your pet or cremate your pet. But it's better to have those ideas set down rather than being stuck like I was. I wasn't prepared. Wolfgang died on the way to the vet. And I had he was a kitten. How did I've never had a chance to think about that.
Yeah.
And do I regret it? Yeah, I do. Because I had never thought about it. And so it's like, you know, I hate to say it, but even if you have a healthy young animal, have an idea of what you want to do on that day. It just takes 1 minute to talk to you with your family. And then write it down, you know, like a will, right? Put it in a drawer. Hope that it's wrinkled and torn and got ketchup stains on it by the time you dig it out.
Yeah.
God willing. But this is going to happen. There's no denying it. And please just acknowledge that's a reality and just make that tiny little decision ahead of time, at least.
No, and it's because decisions after the fact are weighty and hard. And even during palliative care or hospice care, it's weighty and hard. And we're mentally fatigued and it's a mental burden and overwhelm. And now we want me to think about what color the urn is. Like, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. I'm going to wait till tomorrow, right? And it's like, well, let's have some conversations maybe before our judgment is clouded with pain. And have more clarity in this. You know, I'll never forget before my grandma passed away, she'd say, hey, walk around the house. And if you like something, put your name on it. Here's a post-it note, right? And it's like, me, boy, what are you doing? Like, this is morbid. I'm not happy with this. But you know what? At the time, we were able to joke about it. We could laugh while I was picking out teachers, right? And stuff. And after the fact, it was, here's a box of stuff that Mimi wanted me to have, right? And it was like, gosh, man, she was really good at that. And same thing too with our pets. We can think about what would their favorite color be, right? What would we want to have on engraved? What was in the happy times, it's easier to think about those things, you know? So our dog, he would have been 16 next month. But last week he tragically passed away after a tumor ruptured and he went into violent seizures. And wholly unprepared for this. And because it was one of those moments where the vet was like, it was an undiagnosed tumor, right? So we had completely, and even while Kobe was in the hospital for this, the vet ran a blood panel and he was like, well, other than the fact that, you know, he's on the way out, he's completely healthy, right? As completely. Oh, and it was just one of those things of like all of the little things building up to that. And here we are in this moment that we didn't choose, that we didn't know. And what do we do, right? It was that moment of now what? And I was very thankful for a lot of the conversations that we had had. And now it's like, well, I got to go get the kids and I'm driving to get the kids. And all of a sudden the kids are in the car. And I was like, wait, what do I say to them? Like how now what? So it's not to say that even with planning, you will have thought of everything. And even with planning, you know, everything will go smoothly, but at least you've built up a few muscles, right? And a few resources to help that process, help you process the process, I'll say. Because again, like you don't want to feel like you're lost, because that's where that despair comes in, Erica, where all of a sudden, oh gosh, I'm frozen, now what? And we can have those conversations earlier. I know we keep coming back to that, but they're so critical because as you experienced, Erica, like nobody talks about this. Nobody has these online. This isn't anywhere. How do we come with alongside people and in that loving and compassionate way, help guide them and let them know that we're hurting too?
Yeah. And I'm so sorry to hear that. And it reminds me, you know, we need to book another podcast because I started a new company specifically focused on kids and pet loss with two other people. And without saying more, you know, I think I would love to address that because a lot of your listeners, you know, their clients have families and those families have kids. And, you know, a lot of times this is their first law with their pet. And if it's done in a healthy way and, you know, parents grieve in a healthy way, the kids learn how to grieve and you can really make a big change for those kids and the rest of their lives.
Yeah. Right.
So when they come across grief again and the many forms that it sneaks up on us, they know how to go through it with dignity. They know how to go through it in a healthy way where they're not accumulating all this negativity or baggage or denial. Yeah. So it's really, really a big, it's got a big ripple effect. And I would love to talk more about that. And I think the simplest thing to say right now is just that, you know, to be honest with kids and tell them, you know, you're hurting, show them tears, because that's part of the healing process, and just be real with them. I remember my first loss, and it was very sudden, and no one prepared me. I didn't even know our dog was old. You know, I was seven. I just felt like dogs live forever. And how devastating that really was, and just being blindsided, quite honestly. So anyway, that's my own stuff. But it definitely makes me who I am today, and the experiences that I had, you know, with Wolfgang make me who I am today. I didn't wake up one day calling and be like, I'm going to get, you know what, honey, I'm going to get into the pet loss realm. What do you think? Like, it just happened. This was a calling. And, the more I learn and the more I grow with it, the more excited I get and to help people and connect with them and relate to them and show them that, hey, I feel like this person I was saying, it's like recovered pet loss. I got to come up with a better way about that. But you can go through it. It's basically my message to people.
Well, yeah. And kids or even adults can learn ways to grieve that are maybe more healthy than what they're used to. I think that's important too. As we talk with our clients, it's one, acknowledging that the pain is real or that it will be real. Two, that their position is that we see them in kind of their struggle through palliative care as they begin to grieve, you know, go through this anticipatory grief of their pet. And three, we can equip them with those resources. And what that does is it equips them with tools, languages, and language and action in their life of something as simple as, I recognize, like, I had to explain my grief to our kids. Why was I crying? Why was I crying? I didn't want them to just see that I was crying and sad because I knew they were hurting inside. So they needed to hear some emotions from me of like, I'm sad because, right? And just explaining and letting them know. So they could have words to feel these, to describe these feelings and emotions that they had and what was the source of this? So it wouldn't be as confusing. Not that it won't be, or it won't be trying times, but giving people that can help them go, now I can talk about this a little bit better, or I can go, I know where to go, and I can help. I can be helped in that much. Erica, kind of in closing here, I know you've talked about Wolfie's wish a little bit, but there's a lot of factors in that as far as like what all you do, because you started with the cards and now you started a group and you're pulling together resources. If somebody's looking for those resources, looking to get connected and find things either for themselves or their clients, what all is Wolfie's Wish doing these days, or what other resources have you found?
Oh, goody. I'm so excited. So I actually just released a kids coloring book. And that's available on our site and on Amazon. So I am already like branching out into that, but I'm putting together actually kind of a grief course where you get an email a day to help you through your difficulty and just a little tiny nugget, right? Like 5 minutes a day. And that's really what my whole philosophy is about, is small, digestible, manageable, simple things. I couldn't read a book. I didn't have the capacity, right? I'm already overwhelmed with so many other things, like you said, decision fatigue. So the grieving cards, you know, are designed to be read once a day for 30 days. Same thing with the anticipatory card. And so that's the philosophy of everything I do, is simple, digestible, but the resources page just keeps growing, you know, and I hope to have my own podcast let's just say next year. It gives me some time, some bodily time. So that it's just one more modality that people can reach out to, you know, whether they're on a walk or they're commuting, they're getting a little nugget, a little tip, a little bit of hope. So we did just release or develop wolfieswish.eu. And so that has the grieving cards in five languages that you can kind of play like a little game where you click, it's called like play with Wolfie, and you like stroke on him and then you get a card. So we're expanding, you know, and I'm developing the wolfieswish.de site right now because we're already selling here in Germany. And, you know, I just hope that it just continues to grow. And you know, we end up being the go-to place for when people are ready to talk about and look for resources, that there's something there for everyone everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And Erica, I'm going to have links to your website and other things that we've talked about so people can get connected, find the coloring books. I see you can, if you have kids or know people like that, or just the grieving cards or whatever, and that, and going, what do I think is appropriate and how I can help this client, right? Is it cards? Is it somebody, an ear to talk to? Is it a local counselor? Like that's something that we can put together and decide. Like, again, as you mentioned, like, what's our relationship with this client? How do we get connected with this person and finding the best fit? And sometimes it's letting them guide that as well. It's like, hey, here's four or five things. Here's four or five things, and not really overwhelming them, but also just saying like, here are options, and then helping them decide which ways through that. So,
Check this out. Here's one thing. Brett, I really love the idea of printing out the affirmation cards that are free, cutting them up and putting them in a letter or a card. Mm-hmm. And we now have the line of sympathy cards too. So that just kind of came by demand naturally and organically. So, and I work with a lot of, international organizations. And so hopefully, I can't carry all this message by myself. I can't do it all by myself. But thank you for giving me a platform to talk about this and to have people, they have the option to listen or not, or skip to the next episode. But at least it's a vehicle to talk about it and get it out there. And, for anyone that's listening, I hope it's been helpful. And now you know of a place to go. So just bookmark, Wolf's Wish on your browser. And when that day comes, you need it for your clients. Oh, I got it. I don't have to, scramble.
Erica, always a pleasure getting to speak with you. Thank you so much for this topic.
It
is genuinely important that we prepare ourselves, and we help our clients prepare for it, because it will happen. And every little thing that we can do can help them and ourselves that much more when we do have to face that. So I really appreciate you having the conversation with us today, Erica.
Well, thank you for giving me the platform. I appreciate it.
Resources and conversation. Two of the most powerful things and gifts you can give your clients and yourself today. Pull together those local resources of counselors, of organizations, of support groups. Have those pamphlets and websites, webinars, trainings at the ready. And then approach your clients and ask yourself, how am I doing today? And what's the plan here? Let's start just a little bit of conversation with those around us who we know are in that state of anticipatory grief, so that we can help them right now before the times get really hard. The conversations may be awkward, they may be a little bit difficult, but there's such a loving way to reach out to our clients and support them when they don't even know they need support. We'd like to thank today's sponsors, Time to Pet and the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters, for making today's show possible. We really want to thank you so much for listening. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and we'll be back again soon. Oh, my God.